What is up, everybody? Welcome back to University of Adversity. I'm your host, Lance Isios. Today's guest, we have the one, the only, Amber Lee Lago joining us. She was on the show 4 years ago. We connected. We became great friends. And then she joined us on the University of Adversity Summit. And then she was kind enough to write the foreword for my book, Mastering Adversity, because she gets it, right? Like, she's been through so much adversity. She understands resilience. She understands mindset. She understands what it takes to persevere in life, but still find the joy in the craziness and the chaos of life as well. And that's why I'm excited to have her back on. She's got a brand new book called Joy Through the Journey, Shift Your Mindset and Cultivate Resilience Through Life's Ups and Downs. It is a USA Today's best-selling book. So congratulations to her. And we get into all of it. You know, this is a pretty short conversation, but we cover a lot. It's jam-packed. Talk about tools for resilience, mindset, how to work through stuck energy, coping strategies, and all of it. And, you know, basically, how can you find the joy in the hardest moments, in the chaotic times? And that's really what it's all about, right? To be able to just be in it, to just do your best, to not fall to victim mentality. See the good in these situations, because when you look back, you're going to be grateful for them. It's hard sometimes, but, you know, it's important. And, you know, the more you go through, the more you realize the importance of it. So love this conversation. Love everything Amber Lee's doing. All her information is below, and highly recommend checking her out. If you guys do get value from this, share it with somebody that you feel needs it. Tag us on social media, all that good stuff. And of course, subscribe or follow the podcast. Stay up to date with all the episodes. I got a lot more coming out now, and I'm excited for this year. So let's get into it. Enjoy this episode with my good friend, Amber Lee Lago. How do we find joy in the most chaotic times of our lives?
Well, I think the first thought that came to mind, because I have lived this, I have experienced this through so many different occasions, and it's something that I really practice every day. And I say practice because sometimes I know when you're going through a challenge or even authentic catastrophe that it sometimes might be hard to do this, but it's gratitude. Gratitude is the foundation for joy. I think gratitude is alchemy. Gratitude is my medicine. And I remember when I really could see and feel just how powerful gratitude was. It was when I was in the hospital bed and I was lying there looking down at my leg that was being held together by metal rods. And I didn't know if that day or the next day or the next day was going to be the day they were going to amputate my leg. And I was looking down going, you know, how am I going to get through this? What am I going to do? Is my husband going to love me? Am I going to be able to chase after my kids? Am I going to die? Like, I was spiraling down into a depression. And in that moment, I realized I had a choice. I could go down that road or I could focus on gratitude. And I started writing down everything that people came in to see me in the hospital, the people, the nurses, the doctors, the fact that I had a view from the window. And I noticed how it really shifted my perspective. And I say practice because it's something I do every single morning. I practice gratitude, and I actually have an accountability group. We call ourselves the God Squad, and we write 10 things that we're grateful for. And it's one thing to feel it. It's another thing to really write it down. There's something healing, I feel like, and cathartic from thinking about something to writing it down from your head to your heart to your, you know, hand, the pencil to the pen to the paper. But there's something else. When you get to really read what somebody else and understand what somebody else is grateful for, it can shift your perspective as well. And for me, it really gets me focused on what I can do instead of what I can't do or what I lack or what I don't have. And I think that when we can start to train ourselves to be grateful in the moment, no matter what, and maybe in the moment, that is just the fact that you've got breath, that you're alive. I think it doesn't have to be some big, huge thing. For me, one of the things that was first on my gratitude list this morning was that I woke up another day sober, because I know that with my sobriety, I get to be here sitting with you. I get to have the life of happiness, joy, and freedom one day at a time with sobriety. And so I think the easiest and quickest way to start cultivating resilience and more joy throughout your journey is to really start practicing gratitude.
What do you say to somebody that you come in contact with or that you work with that constantly says that they can't seem to find that joy? Like, they can't seem to get out of that programming of that lack, focusing on what they don't have. And like, how do you shift that for them? And how do you help them see differently? Because sometimes that programming is so deep.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because that's the way I was raised. And what you just talked about is exactly what got me out of it, was practicing gratitude and literally that becoming the default. Like, it's effort, because everything is so negative in society. It's like, it's almost like a programming to pull us in. So you have to be intentional with it, right? And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just curious, like, how does, say somebody comes up to you and is like, I can't find this. I can't seem to get there.
It's funny because, you know, people think, oh, well, easy for you. You're so positive. You're the most positive person. And the truth be told, I am not. It's something I work towards. I have a mean inner critic. I can beat myself up and I make mistakes. I can go down that, you know, path of looking at my schedule and going, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through the day? My schedule is so full. Oh my gosh, this is so much. I'm tired already just looking at it. And I catch myself and I'm like, I am so blessed that I get to do these things, that I have these opportunities. Mm-hmm. And so I think that it's a muscle, just like going to the gym. You wouldn't go to the gym one time and be like, okay, I'm all set now. I'm fit and strong and ready to go. Or, you know, you wouldn't go, okay, I'm resilient now and no challenge is going to detour me, or I'm not going to fall flat on my face again because I'm resilient and strong. It's not. It's something that we work towards. And so I think that being joyful, yes, it's a choice, but it's something that we train our mind, our body, our soul to feel and experience. And it's not waiting for the perfect circumstances. It's really embracing that gratitude and that purpose in the moment. And so there's one thing that I would really highly suggest, something that has helped me tremendously. It's what I do on a daily basis, especially if I'm like, what the heck's wrong with me? Why am I feeling like this? Why am I feeling kind of unmotivated or just like, ugh, I don't want to go. I don't want to do that. You know, I don't know. Sometimes I find myself in a funk and I'm like, why am I not excited right now? Why do I not feel joy right now? Well, what can I do? And so I do something called joy spotting. And just to give you an example of this. So I introduced you to Nugget, our new little pup, before we started recording. Well, I had, you know, Goldie, our dog, for 14 years, and she was my therapy dog. She went with me. I mean, she was with me through every surgery. It was interesting because I would be at events and people would know, our dog's name because she was always in our stories. We were always sharing these like shenanigans that we were doing. And she passed away unexpectedly. And I'm the one that found her. And I was devastated. I had no idea how painful that would be. I couldn't stop crying. I could not stop crying. And I remember throughout the day, I was like, gosh, I just want to stop crying. And it wasn't like I was trying to like, let me not feel these feelings. I mean, I'm getting a little choked up just thinking about it. But it was like, I just want a little reprieve. I just want to experience some sort of joy. And I remember thinking, okay, well, what can I do that's going to bring me joy? And so I think, first of all, it's really important to think about, pause and ask yourself, what brings you joy? Sometimes people go throughout their day or their life and they don't even know what brings them joy. So I encourage you to pause and think about what brings you joy. In that moment, I thought, well, putting up our Christmas tree brings me joy. Putting out Christmas decorations brings me joy. And we put our Christmas tree up. I think it was the earliest we had ever put up our, I think we put it up like, it was the 10th of November. We had never put our decorations up that early. And so that did bring me some joy. And then I was crying again. And I thought, okay, I don't want to keep crying. I mean, I couldn't drive down the road without crying. And I thought, you know what? Sometimes we need to change our environment. And so whether that is just getting, if you're an entrepreneur and you're sitting behind your desk or you're on Zooms and it's day to day, hour to hour to hour, back to back to back calls, change your environment. Go get outside and get some fresh air. Feel the sun on your face. Go take a break and go to the gym or go walk around the block. Move your body because it's going to move your mood. It's going to release those endorphins, those feel-good endorphins. It's going to allow you to build your confidence, to gain momentum, and to also spark more joy. And then I remember that day, so I did. I had to get out of the house. I went for a walk, and it's important to connect. I, in the past, would tend to isolate, whether I felt physical pain or emotional pain. I wanted to isolate. Now I've learned to take contrary action, and I reach out instead. And so I went out for a walk. I called one of my friends who is like a dog mom. She's had fur babies forever. And I cried. I just cried to her. And she made me feel better because she was just listening, but also offering suggestions. And then later I was like, okay, I want to go out there and actively seek joy. I want to do some joy spotting. And I want to be a joy sparker, meaning I want to go out and see how I can spark joy in other people because I know that's going to bring joy back to me. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll go to Home Goods. So I go to Home Goods and I was on a mission to go and smile at other people just to see them smile back and talk to them just so I could hear them talk back to me and know I wasn't alone. And the first thing I saw when I walked in the store was a sign that said joy. And I was like, wow, it's so like, this is real. You go and you seek out whatever you look for, you will find it. Then I walked through the store and I said hi to everybody and I smiled at them and they smiled back. We aren't meant to do hard things alone. We are wired for connection. And so, you know, by doing these things, it allowed me to spark joy. And it was not that it's always easy, but you can do these things over and over and start over as many times as you need to throughout the day, throughout the month, until it starts to get a little bit easier. And then before long, you have built this muscle around joy spotting and you've trained your mind to actively seek out things that spark joy.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I was just thinking while you were saying that is that so many people feel guilty for, you know, you see that in people. Sometimes they feel guilty for being joyful. Like, oh, what am I feeling joyful? Why am I happy? Isn't that wild how people think like that? It's like, why aren't you? Like that should be the thing. That should be what we strive for. But it's like there's a badge of honor for being miserable, you know?
Oh,
and it's like, and people feel almost like they're guilty for being joyful. It's crazy.
And I'm so glad you said that, because when I was first diagnosed with complex regional pain syndrome, this is a disease, or it's a condition. They don't know whether to call it disease, condition, illness, whatever. It's supposedly incurable. It's ranked highest on the pain scale. And I was in some support groups at first, not for long. And it was because in the support groups, now I'm sure there are support groups out there that are wonderful, but you better choose wisely who you're surrounding yourself with, because energy is everything and everything is energy. And if you want to be joyful, you got to get rid of the doggy downers and stick with the puppy uppers. And I realized in that particular support group I was in, it was like just a contest for whoever could be the most miserable or the sickest or have the worst pain. And then when I was on the doctor's TV and they saw me smiling and I had makeup on and my hair was done, oh my gosh, Lance, they even were coming, the haters came out of the woodwork and they were coming down hard on me for, oh, there's no way she has CRPS. She's way too happy to be sick. There's no way she could wear those shoes if she really had pain. And I'm like, they didn't see my, you know, ugly, beat up, you know, boots, the only ones that I could wear that I wore to set and put on these shoes that I looked and looked and searched for to wear some nice shoes to be on national TV. And you know what? You better bet I was smiling. I was so excited and honored to be there. And so, yeah, there will always be naysayers. There's always going to be people out there that are going to try to, you know, come down on you for, oh, well, you're way too happy. You should be struggling. Even in the entrepreneurial journey, this whole hustle culture where you have to like be killing yourself and wear a badge of honor for working 22 hours a day and not getting sleep and feeling like crap. Forget that. I'm over that. I'm ready to. And that's one of the reasons I wrote Joy Through the Journey, is because I was on the brink of burnout. I was in a place where here I had overcome this near-death accident, out of a coma, saved my leg from amputation, to slowly be killing myself because I wasn't taking care of myself. I was like, no, something's got to change, and I had to get back to basics. And that really meant, when I say back to basics, it meant like remembering to eat and drink enough water and get enough sleep. It was that basic. Yesterday, actually, I had my first day where I got a really good workout. I got to go to the grocery store and do some shopping. I even watched a little bit of Netflix, I'm going to say. And it was the first day in a long time that I actually just, I was driving down the road going, I got to go to the grocery store. You know what I mean? Like the simplest things, but it was like, I got to go pick out healthy food and, you know, make a nice dinner for and food prep and, you know, get back to basics. But it's the little things and figuring out what are your non-negotiables that allow you to thrive and spark joy so you can stick to that. Because I've learned, you know, our impact is only as strong as we are healthy. And if I'm not healthy mentally, spiritually, and physically, how can I go pour into other people? How can I be an example for the ladies in my mastermind of being resilient and making an impact if I'm not taking care of myself? So it was a big wake-up call.
This is a great point that I wanted to bring up. And it's like perfect that you started talking about burnout, because how does somebody know? Okay, so we want to have mindset. We want to be determined. We want to be resilient, right? well, what is the point where it's like, okay, hold on a second. There's only so much I can go. I can only get so much further before we break down. How do we know? This is so important for males, females, anybody that's the entrepreneurs out there, or even if you're training for something intense, like how do we know when we've hit our breaking point? Like what are the signs? And, you know, maybe what was that for you? Like what started to come up? Because, you know, I've known you now for almost, I think it's 4 years now. You're on the podcast in 2021 and you've been nonstop. And it's just like, okay, she's doing these things, unstoppable. How is she doing it? Like, how do you know when it's like, okay, it's time to take a rest? It's like, we need to go inward. We need to do a little bit of the healing stuff. Like, what does that look like?
Well, I actually, in the very first chapter of the book, actually, it's the foreword of the book, I share something that was, I mean, it was very, I had a lot of shame, Lance, because I was pushing and pushing and pushing. In one day, I had given 3 keynotes. And I mean, I believe there's a time to push through. You know, that's my first book, True Grit and Grace. But there's a time for that grit. But there's also a time that we have to give ourselves the grace. And I've had to really learn to make resting a part of my business strategy. I used to think resting means quitting or that you're weak, that you're just, you know, it all came down to I wasn't good enough. So I had to keep doing and going and being and achieving and everything I had to do more of because I didn't feel worthy of, I didn't feel good enough. And so it was a time where I had 3 keynotes in one day and happened to be sick. I had an infection. Yeah. In between keynotes, I went down to the urgent care, which is like a mile away from our house. And I go in and the doctor's like, you have a pretty serious infection. We really need to hospitalize you. And I was like, well, what are my other choices? They're like, well, we only have one other option. And it would be to give you the strongest oral antibiotic that we have in hopes that that would work. And if not, you will most definitely have to be hospitalized. And I was like, write the script. It's going to work. Just give me the medicine. Got the script prescription. Out the door I went, got the medicine, popped that antibiotic on an empty stomach. Of course, I didn't make time to eat. I had to get to that next keynote. And I was able to push through, did great with the first one, great with the second one. Great with the third one, the pain from the infection was starting to kick in. And I thought, okay, I've got one more thing. I had a client that had a brand new book coming out, and I was going to go live on Instagram to support her and her book. Mm-hmm. And by this time, it was like my body started shutting down. And it was like my brain, it was like I was watching a horror movie and I could see myself and what was happening and had no control over it. Here I was live, thousands of people watching, and I couldn't even enunciate my words. I ended the live short. I didn't even make it to the bedroom. I collapsed on our couch, didn't wake up till the next morning. I was really sick. And the next day I woke up to dozens of messages like, Amberly, are you okay? Like people thought that I was drugged up or something. Mm-hmm. It was like the pain had taken over. My body had nothing left to give. My brain was like, oh, really? You're not going to stop? Well, your brain's going to just stop working for a while. And it was a big wake-up call for me. And I thought, here I've worked so hard to get to where I am to throw it all away like this. And so I was like, I'm about to write a book about joy. I better start sparking some. And that was my moment of, look, y'all, you don't have to wait until you're sick in the urgent care or you live off learn from my lesson. You don't have to make a fool of yourself like I made of me. Like, take care of yourself before. Like I've always said, we need to work on our resilience before we need it. It's so true, especially as entrepreneurs. I've had to really like go, no matter what, like this morning, for instance, I messaged my assistant and I said, well, I didn't get my Instagram post up. I didn't get my Facebook post. I didn't get any of my posts up. I said, because it was more important for me this morning to pray, to get down on my knees and pray. And first thing, it reminds me how small I am and how big God is. Gratitude, to reach out to people, to just have a moment of quiet. It's my favorite time of day. It's like, and I actually thought about that this morning too, because I was like, oh, this is my favorite time of day. My family's sleeping. It's quiet. The puppy's not trying to attack me. She's asleep on her back with her legs up. And it was more important for me to do that. So I had that spiritual connection. I had the connection to myself, but I had that connection to God. And it's important to think about what's important to you. Like what's really, truly important in the world? Because, man, when real tragedy comes up, you realize pretty quickly what's really important. And so I thought, you know what? Life's short to sweat the small stuff. It's okay. I'm giving myself some grace. I can post later. I had other things to do after that. You know, I was like, it's knowing your priorities. I was like, okay, is posting on social media like really important for me? Or is it important for me to get that article written for Success Magazine that's due today? And I was like, is it important for me to do the post on social media? Or is it important for me to get back to these two clients that I have that are waiting for me to critique their keynote? You know, and so I think that when we know our priorities, when we know our values, and when we know our non-negotiables, it helps us to thrive, to be resilient, and most definitely spark more joy throughout our journey.
Is there any specific practices that you have for, you know, like somatic release, like the stress? Do you do breath work? Do you do I know you pray, but is the gym your thing? Is there anything else that you use as like to move energy?
Oh yeah, for sure. Well, it's funny because so I just got back in town. I was doing a couple of different events in California, and I'm backstage, and it's like, you know, former NFL player. David Meltzer's back there. Like there's some high level men. I think there was one other female, but it's mostly men. And I've got on this like neon yellow tight fitted dress about to go on stage. And I was like, hey fellas, y'all don't mind me. And I said, and Nick, who was back there, who works with David Meltzer, goes, oh, don't mind Amberly. I know she's got a thing before she goes on to speak. She does her push-ups and prayer. And that works for me. And so now people used to go, oh my gosh. And they would get out their camera, like shocked that here I was in a dress doing push-ups. And I think sometimes people are surprised because they're like, oh wow, you can, how old are you? Like you can still do push-ups. You know what I mean? And so push-ups and prayer definitely movement. Moves energy for me. So like yesterday, just something that has been great having a new pup is taking the dog out for a walk. So whether it's push-ups, whether it's going for a walk, I love going to the gym. I mean, I don't always feel motivated to go in. There are times I pull up to the gym and I sit there in my car scrolling through Instagram, and I'm like, okay, Amberly, get your butt in there. I've learned to talk to myself instead of like listen to myself go, oh, you can take a break today. I'm like, nope, get in there, move your body. The minute I do get in there and I got my music on, I start moving my body, I'm like, yes, I'm alive. I'm energized. It boosts your confidence. And so for me, for sure, moving my body has always been something that has moved my mood and the energy, and I can feel it instantly. And it's kind of contradictory, you know, like you think, oh, you're going to move your body, it's going to make you more tired. It actually energizes you. And then for sure, breath work. There have been times when, especially in this past year, where I've traveled more than I ever have in my life in this last year. I've spoken at more events than I've ever spoken at in my life in this last year. And I've dealt with some extreme health challenges that have been harder than since right after my motorcycle accident. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've been back in the hospital. And I don't even know if you knew this, but I was actually back in a wheelchair last year as well. And so something that has really helped me is breath work. And I'm not great at it. I mean, I'm getting better, I should say. See, there I go fixing that mindset. It's catching it and switching it to I'm getting better at the breath work instead of I'm not great at that. I'm getting better at the breath work. But I use an app, and I know there are so many different apps out there. I am not affiliated with Calm, but I do like the Calm app, and I like it because like there's a meditation on there, and it gets you back into your body. It uses breath work, and I can get in bed and feel like my body's almost like vibrating. My nervous system is so like on fire, intensified, and just doing that breath work, it really does change. It shifts like not just mentally, but it your sympathetic nervous system. I can feel it just calm everything back in. And I know you do breath work as well. And I've seen you do, you know, your videos like on Instagram and stuff. And I'm like, you're a pro at it. And I'm always learning, but it does work. So that does help.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say I'm a pro. I mean, I did a 9-month certification for it with Awaken Breathwork, and it was just life changing. Like, I know exactly
what
you mean.
Oh, see, you're a pro.
Well, I put in, we did so many hours of theory and so many hours of actually doing our journeys. We're like, you know, 2-hour journeys. It was intense, but I know what you mean. It can really profoundly shift your energy, your frequency, we're all energy. And we get in these funks, and it's amazing what we have access to with our own breath, you know, and it's so beautiful because you can connect deeper with God, to spirit, to whatever it is, you know, you can really get a clearer channel, you know, to the messaging. Like, you know, that's what I love. It's like, okay, I need clarity. I really want to fine tune the clarity, the radio signal. And it seems to be the best thing that is like, okay. And your heart, your intuition opens up and it's like, oh, okay. Okay. So you can tell I like it too.
Yeah. The first time I ever did breath work was actually with my friend Pamela Robbins back when I lived in LA, and she had a teepee. And so we would go in her teepee for, I mean, different things. Like sometimes she would do guided meditation. One time my favorite wizard, Jason the Wizard, was there, and he was doing like cards, and like it was so much fun. It was wild though. It was, the card he pulled for me was the Alchemist, and it was right before my first book was coming out. And my girlfriend was like, yes, that's a good hard for her.
You literally are an alchemist.
But I was just like, wow. And the first time I ever did breath work was in this teepee. So imagine, you know, like 10 of us in the middle of this teepee doing breath work. And It wasn't like breathe in 2, 3,
no, it's
four,
intense.
Breathe out.
It, yeah, it can
it
be scary.
Was intense. People were crying.
Yeah,
it releases emotion, things that you've held on to or stuffed down. Yeah, it's intense.
Yeah, it brings to surface everything that needs to be felt and looked at. It's like sometimes we think we know what's needed, but your breath will find whatever is needed and force you to face it so that you can give it love and you can integrate it into your body, into your, you know, so it's not this dark shadow that's hiding in the background. It's like you see it and you love it and you feel it, you process it, and then you let it go. That's a beautiful thing. It's like it shows you what exactly you need to face. You know, it's like,
I love that. You know what, Lance? Maybe it would be a good idea to have you back on the show. It's been a long time since you've been on.
I'd love to.
Years since you've been on. Have you back on and we'll do a whole breath work.
Oh, it'd be awesome. I'd love to talk about it. I get excited about it. It's like when somebody else does it, I'm like, yes, let's go. No, it's, and I mean, it makes sense. Cause I mean, with the work that you do and, you know, resilience and, you know, mindset, it's so important to have that tool. So it makes sense that you do that. I know that we got to probably wrap it up here pretty quick. So you got another call, but now is there anything like, let's wrap this up with one more question about, let's say somebody out there is struggling right now. Like, let's say they're maybe going through it. And I know you might have touched on this before in the beginning, but what advice would you have for somebody that may be going through adversity right now that you would give them for them to take action with today?
Don't do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. I used to feel like I had to do everything alone. I was afraid to ask for help, afraid that it would make me look weak. And what I've discovered is actually when you're vulnerable and you ask for help, it connects you even more. And I mean, this went through something as big as like when I got sober and the courage it took to like ask someone for help, and it changed my life. And it could go for something as small as when I was doing this keynote and I was in Salt Lake City, and I don't know if it was just so, it was very dry. I don't know if I had just flown in, and because I've been nervous before. I mean, I get nervous, honestly. And I try to shift that to excited, but I do. I get a little anxious every time before I go give a keynote. But this had never happened. I get on stage and my mouth goes dry. Like, I've heard of people getting dry mouth, like dry, like the Sahara Desert dry. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not even going to be able to talk, like that dry. And instead of trying to pretend like it was normal or nothing was wrong, I just stopped in the middle of my keynote. And I'm talking about in front of hundreds of people. I didn't have any water on a podium there was no podium. And it was the first time I never even thought to ask for water on the stage because I'd never needed it before. And so instead of acting like everything was perfect, I was like, oh my goodness. I was like, y'all, I knew I was a little nervous before I got up here, but I didn't know I was this nervous. I was like, it's like the desert in here. I was like, I can't even swallow. Can anybody please help me and get me some water? And you know what? You could feel the audience go, oh, she's human.
Yeah.
Let me help her. And two people got up to go get me water. And I was like, oh my goodness, thank you so much. And from that moment on, I felt even more connected to the audience. I mean, I could have sat there and beat myself up like, oh, I messed up and this and that. And I did for a little bit. I'm not going to lie. I had a friend there and I asked her, I was like, I need you to keep it real with me. How bad was that? What, you know? And she was like, no, I mean, it was, I just wish you would have had some water. But other than that, it was great. And I got hired for another keynote right after that. So from that event, I got hired for another event. So I think it was, and the lady said, she goes, well, I liked your ability to connect with the audience. And so I say, don't do it alone. Ask for help. Don't think that you have to have it all figured out. Nobody does. And when you ask for help and you're just a little vulnerable, it's going to connect you to the right people and you're going to be able to move forward with grit and spark more joy.
Beautiful. And I think that's why people can relate to you so much, because you are so relatable. You're a real human. You show human emotions. That's why people connect with you so well, because you're inspiring, but you have this like real humanness about you that people just, oh, you know, like it gives them permission to like be human too. You know, everybody's just looking for permission slips to be themselves.
Thank you.
You know?
You know what? I feel like we were walking permission slips. You know, we can give others permission to love themselves, to be goofy, to mess up, to fall down, to get back up. I mean, I was wrestling with Ruby, and my youngest daughter, she is big and strong now. She's like an inch taller than me now. And so she's like 5'11", and she's a horseback rider. She's super strong, and she is like a tomboy, kind of like I was growing, or I guess I still am. And we were wrestling, horsing around, and I'm not so steady all the time with my right leg, and I wobbled over, went and did a face plant right into the coffee table. And I'm like, oh man, get this. She goes, Mom, you're bleeding. And I'm like, get the super glue. And my husband's like, super glue? You can't super glue that back together. I got to take you to the emergency room. So we go to the emergency room. They had to tape my nose back up and 9 stitches in my eyebrow. And my daughter felt horrible. But then she was like, oh, man, you're going to have a scar there. There's hair. Your eyebrow's not going to grow back there. And anyway, I was interviewing Jamie Kern Lima the following week, and I show up and I tried to put concealer on it and stuff, but you could still see I obviously had 2 black eyes and stitches in my forehead. And I was like, you know what? I'm still going to show up. I'm still going to keep going. I'm like, I mess up, I goof off, I fall down, but I'm here to show you that you can get back up again. And unstoppable doesn't mean that we don't fall or we don't mess up. It just means that we pick ourselves up, dust ourselves off, and keep moving forward.
I love it. All right. Joy through the journey. Shift your mindset and cultivate resilience through life's up and downs. I'm so excited for you. Thank you so much, Amber Lee. Anything else you want to share with people before we wrap up? All your information is going to be below. Is there anywhere you want to send them?
I would just say, yeah, connect with me. You can find out more about the Unstoppable Success Summit, which is in Dallas, April 25th and 26th. All the links for my podcast, you can catch Lance's episode and hear his future episode. We got to have you back on. find out more about my mastermind, social media, all that fun stuff, and just my book club. Any of that, any way that we can connect, just reach out to me. It's my favorite thing to do is to actually connect and hear from you. And then Lance, I just wanted to say thank you again for having me on, and let's show Lance some love. Let's take a screenshot and tag Lance and say how much we love you, Lance, for all the work that you do and who you are, and just appreciate you, my friend.
Oh, thank you, Amberlee. I appreciate you as well. Thank you so much, everybody.